In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text, read a few moments ago from 2 Kings 5. When I was asked to preach here, my mind had a very immediate and direct thought. No, not gonna do it, not me. Sure, I've preached hundreds and hundreds of times in a number of different congregations, but never here. Let one of these other guys in my class do it. Not me. Not gonna happen. You see, there's a little bit of Naaman in me, and I'm not the only one. Now, let me explain. You heard the story, Naaman, this important general of the king of Aram, has leprosy. Interestingly, he's not banished from their society, is he? Aram says, you need to be healed. And as you heard, the slave girl of his wife said, go to Israel, and there you can be healed. So Naaman probably thought, okay, that's worth a try. And he goes to King Jehoram. I'm here to be healed. And of course, Jehoram immediately says, oh, this is bad news. This is trouble. I can't do anything like that. He probably is just testing me, and he's going to go back. He's going to bring his army, and we're going to have this major battle. But Elisha comes to the rescue, send him to me. Well, already, Naaman's not in a good mood. Strike one. So he goes to this man called Elisha, expecting Elisha to come out and wave a magic wand, or come out and do a little dance, or say some magic words, and Naaman's gonna be healed. Nope. Elisha doesn't even come out, but sends a messenger. Who does Elisha think he is? I'm this important general. How dare he not come out and see me? Strike two. Then the messenger says, go wash yourself in the Jordan River. Absolutely not. Not gonna do it. What, does he honestly think that by washing, this leprosy is going to go away? Does he think I haven't bathed since I had leprosy? Does he really think water takes away leprosy? It's foolishness. It's ridiculous. I'm not doing it. And of course, he begins to head home enraged. But his servants come to him and say, why don't you think about it a little more? What if he had asked you to climb a mountain? Wouldn't you have done it? Or if he said, why don't you run a marathon? Wouldn't you have tried to do it? And perhaps Naaman would have thought, well, maybe, yeah, I guess I might have. Well, then go and do the very simple thing he asked you to do. Go wash yourself in the Jordan. Sure, it's not as nice as the rivers back home, but who cares? So Naaman relents. He follows the will of God as directed by Elisha, and he is healed. And he glorifies the true God, the God of Israel, as the one true God who can heal and who has power over all things. Well, of course, we don't have leprosy, but we have something far, far worse. A kind of spiritual leprosy, of course, we call sin. Sin which envelops our whole being and affects our words, our thoughts, our actions. And this disease kills. It kills our relationship to God. It can kill our relationship to other people. And it's going to kill us. Not just in the here and now, but forever. So we need a cure. We need a solution. And God comes to us in his word and says, I have the cure. And we say, great, tell me what to do. And as St. Paul told the jailer at Philippi, a very simple and direct message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be healed. And that little Naaman inside, which we call our sinful flesh, says, no way. That's too simple. That's too easy. That sounds foolish. Now, if God had asked me to do something special, maybe that would earn me enough brownie points that I would be healed. So maybe if he would send me to China to be a missionary for 10 years, that would probably be enough. Or maybe if he asked me to raise $50 million for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you know, maybe that would do it. Something big. God says, no, none of that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he lived a perfect life in your place. Believe that he took your spiritual leprosy of sin upon himself and suffered and died on the cross in payment for that sin and that leprosy to free you. And then believe that he rose victoriously on Easter morning to guarantee victory and life for you in his name. That's it. That's the cure. That's the only cure, the only source of pardon and life and forgiveness. That's it. Well, why do we struggle with accepting God's simple directive? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it not go back to the first commandment? Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. There it is, trust. Do I really want to trust in God completely for my salvation, for my cure, for my forgiveness? And that little Naaman inside, our sinful flesh, says, not really. I want some of that credit. I want some of that glory. I want some of that appreciation. So Jesus, step off your pedestal. Thanks for all you did, whatever you did. I need to be on that pedestal. I want that praise. I want that credit and glory. That's what our Naaman wants to do. I have taught many a junior confirmation class, as a number of you guys have. And I know there'd be classes where the whole time period, all we talked about was salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And I did my very best to try to communicate and talk about that and discuss it. And you get to the end of the class, and you'd ask, okay, if someone came up to you and said, what must I do to be saved? How would you answer them? And invariably, there'd be a couple of students who'd say, well, you got to live a good life. And you'd shake your head, and you'd start almost wanting to cry. Now, I may be a very poor teacher, but the Holy Spirit is not a poor teacher. You see, that sinful Naaman inside just won't go away. How we need God's forgiveness for letting that little Naaman voice continue to arise in us. How we need that sure forgiveness and pardon for listening to that voice. And how we need the Spirit's help to keep drowning him, keep pushing him down, keep pushing him in the background, to let Jesus Christ stand first and foremost in our hearts and minds. And that's our challenge as pastors, to communicate that very thing, to communicate the gospel, to make sure that their little Naaman inside is defeated day in and day out by the power of Christ and the power of the Spirit, and to challenge ourselves and our listeners to be in that word and to be in the grace of God, to let the power of the Spirit dominate and overthrow and overrule that little Naaman inside, so that Jesus Christ is the one who gets the glory and the credit and the honor and the praise. We are soon about to remember another Reformation. How appropriate. So if you ever come to a time in your own personal life or in your ministry when you think, I think I've preached the gospel enough, you haven't. If you ever reach the time where you think I've taught the gospel enough, you haven't. If you ever get to that point in time where you think, I've communicated the gospel enough, you haven't. The gospel must continue to be preached and taught and shared and communicated until Christ himself returns and calls it an end. That's our challenge. To Christ be the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.